Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
What did that man say?
I think the man was quite succinct. He said,
fuck them.
Hey, Phil, how we doing tonight, Miggo?
Good. Hey, just so people know, this is the
Phil and Bill Show.
We're on the West Coast. It's 6 p.m. here. People listen on the East Coast, it's 9 o'clock. In the Midwest, it's 8 o'clock.
Is there a test behind this? Or
no, there's no test.
Okay,
people just wanted to...
yeah, I see that one. Yeah.
A couple people wrote in and said, hey, you guys should...
Just for our case.
And
now for the people that are in some place that's too late, they can certainly tune in tomorrow or the next night and listen to the show, correct?
Yeah, because they can download the archives.
That's right.
And there's different things, you know, we were going to talk about tonight, and then we got a couple of people. Text me. I mean, it's like in the mail today, Bill. You know that I got some. It's a good idea to be sure you're heard. The folks at the Ruger Firearms have provided an easy way to contact your representatives through a simple online form.
Yeah.
Fill it out and we'll automatically send a letter. It takes less than a couple of minutes. Put your contact info on one page and send letters to as many of your representatives as you want. So I was going to put that in the chat room.
Let our people know they can go through and send out to other messages and all that.
Exactly.
Because it's not that we're so much pro-gun or against gun, but we're really against taking our rights away from us.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with liking guns. We're not saying that. I'm just saying the issue to us is the fact they're taking our rights away from us, folks.
And if you bend over once, Bill, you bend over twice.
Who said that?
I did.
Oh.
I've always said that, Bill.
Well, all right.
I've always said, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice. So it's up there. You can contact that website.
Ruger.
Yeah, it's an online form. And it'll send it to as many representatives as you want.
A lot of people are talking about it, but we're not getting done talking, folks. So here we are, Phillips Club, a simple way to try to help you help us. If you're not happy with what's going on, let's do something about it, please. We do know that our president is not in our corner.
No.
I don't think that the Republicans or the Democrats are in our corner. I'm not sure who we've got left. Maybe we just have us.
Mm-hmm.
That could be it.
You know, today in Virginia, Bill, the motorcycle helmet law, which was a repeal effort. An attempt to repeal Virginia's mandatory motorcycle helmet law was sidelined by a close vote in the House of Delegates subcommittee on Wednesday. The bill, HB 2010, Ben Klein, he's a Republican out of Rockbridge County, would have made helmets optional for riders 21 and older. The measure was tabled 4-2 and is unlikely to be revived in this legislative session. Klein told the panel it's an issue of individual liberty. I hope the subcommittee would have the faith in the citizens of the Commonwealth to make this decision for themselves, he said. We need more guys like that, Bill.
You know, exactly. I can appreciate that, too.
Matt Danielson, the Council for Virginia Coalition of Motorcyclists, said 31 states now make helmets optional and there's no evidence of detrimental impact on traffic safety. But this guy, Chris Legault, an insurance lobbyist, of course, said motorcycle fatality rates have risen 20-30% in the states that have repealed mandatory helmet laws. You know why, Bill?
Why, since I do not know why, Philip, why?
Because gas has been getting higher and more people are turning to riding a bike that don't have
so it's just random numbers, blah, blah, blah. Percentage wise, it's the same, but more numbers. Okay.
Right. The measure also drew opposition from the Virginia State Police, local chiefs of police, fire chiefs, volunteer rescue squads, the Division of Motor Vehicles, and the American American Audible, AAA.
You used to blog to those people. I don't blog to them anymore. Well, while we're on go ahead, keep going.
I got one more.
Keep going. Go ahead.
Sure, no problem. In Maine, the bill would require all motorcyclists to wear helmets. In Augusta, Maine, a new bill to require all motorcyclists to wear helmets in Maine has been referred to a committee. Current law requires only motorcyclists under 18 years of age to wear a helmet while driving or riding as a passenger.
All right, I can live with that.
Mm-hmm. The current Maine law requires motorcyclists under 18 to wear a helmet when driving or riding as a passenger. The law also applies to motorcyclists operating under a learner's permit within 1 year of completing a driving test. Bowdoin's bill requires all operators and passengers of motorcycles to wear protective helmets, restoring a law that was repealed back in the late 70s.
He doesn't seem to go on to say why he's wanting this all repealed and all. They're saying they're going to repeal it. I don't see statistics to show anything.
No, I don't either.
Just something.
More bullshit.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you about something.
Sure, go ahead.
The first motorcycle that was commercially available was actually, and ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I know what you're thinking, and unfortunately you're thinking wrong. Repeat that again. The first commercially available motorcycle came out in 1894. It was a Munich, which is Deutschland-based company. It's called Hildebrand and Wolf Müller. It was a 1,489cc water-cooled four-stroke horizontal twin with a wild, wild speed of 28 miles an hour. Obviously, they hadn't figured out how to get the energy out of that motor yet. Repeat that again, because this comes up every now and then. What was the first commercial motorcycle? It was made by Hildebrand and Wolf Müller, Deutschland. 1894. It's going back a ways, boys and girls. Now, since I'm on some weird news, I want to talk to you about, and Philip's talking about the helmet law. When do you think the first helmet law came into place? And what year do you think it was? And what country do you think it came in place? To ponder that for a second. And since I'm sure it's at nobody's fingertips, and since I have the information in front of me, I'll share it with you. The first helmet law of any kind was in England, 1941. Are you following me that now? England, 1941. They wanted all of the British Army dispatch riders to start wearing helmets when riding in uniform. 1941, England. And let's go into this little program. Thank you, Philip. Okay, so from 1941 in England, what happened to America? What'd you say? I'm glad I answered that question for you. In the early 1950s, thanks to an increase in blunt force head traumas occurring as a result of higher available speeds, a University of Southern California professor named C.F. Lombard, and his nickname is Red. Well, Red started working on helmets in 1950. He got he's funded in part by research dollars for the United States Navy. So actually, it started out in England in 1941, and it actually came to America, and bang, Southern California, 1950s, they started coming together. And what they want to do is they want to make a better helmet to protect against road rash and penetration from sharp objects. Now, I want to wrap this up with because I'm already bored. I want to wrap this up because I'm already bored talking about this. But this is something I don't think everybody knows about, and it's kind of important. A street helmet is a one-and-done. Now, you know what one-and-done means? They're not talking about you. I mean,
wear it once and you're done.
Well, you're close. Wear once and your helmet is done. You can't wear a helmet twice. If you even drop your helmet off your motorcycle, the manufacturer says you need to replace your helmets.
Right.
One and done. Now, my helmet, if you look at it, it's got lots of scratches on it because I put it on my seat. I bump my motorcycle, falls down the ground. I have scratches on it. I am not replacing my full-face helmet as if I dropped it. But the helmet manufacturers are telling me, even dropping from a height from my motorcycle seat to the ground, been done. That helmet's no good anymore. Can you believe that, folks?
Well, you know, I don't understand that, Bill, because the motor cops, they get a new helmet, they take it down and have it drilled, a hole drilled in it.
Right.
And then have it painted. Over the dot sticker.
And once you get that hole drilled, that's the same as one and done. That helmet
that's
has now
correct.
Been, it's been
modified.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a report by the FBI the other day, Bill. More people are killed with hammers and clubs each year than with rifles. Here in Congress talking about banning hammers and baseball bats.
Too well. You know, that's some weird laws. That's some weird stuff out there. I'd like to know, is there anybody out here that believes in that one and done? Has anybody ever dropped a helmet and thrown away and got another helmet? I don't think so. Anybody out there listening to me tonight? How do you feel about that one and done?
Well, you know, if anybody wants to call in, Bill, the number is
847. Yeah, so we should do that.
Or 347-825-775.
Why are you giving the wrong phone number?
No, I didn't.
Right, let's try it one more time, please.
347-826-7753.
All right, thank you. Who do we got out there tonight? Anybody out there? Nora out there tonight? Nora?
Yes. Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing fine today. We got a little bit of rain in California. Philip and I are whining.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. But tomorrow's going to be even nastier.
No, I rode to work today, though.
Well,
got a little wet.
Well, ain't you Mr. Big Shot?
Peg leg and all.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to explain this one last time because you don't understand it, but the audience understands it. I go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. What time do you go to work in the morning?
3:30.
So much warmer at 3:30 in the morning. It is so much colder at 8 o'clock in the morning when I go. So that's the big difference between us right now. And I'm tired of you always telling me about 3:30 in the morning, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I said earlier about the helmet. Anybody has a helmet, drops off their the seat on their motorcycle, and it falls on the ground 3 feet, it's one and done. You're supposed to throw the helmet away and get another one. Does anybody buy that story at all? Has anybody ever done that?
What do you think about that, Nora?
I myself have never worn a helmet, being on a bike, ever. But I do know people that have done that because some studies have shown with certain helmets that once they do drop, where it cracks in the helmet, if there was ever an accident and they had head trauma, the helmet would crack all the way through. You know, it wouldn't be as protective.
That's correct. That's what they're saying.
Right.
I unfortunately must just have cheap friends because my cheap friends, we drop our helmets in the bars. We drop and pull it into the bars, and all the time you see the parking lot, our helmets get knocked down. None of my guys replace their helmets, so I must have cheap friends, I guess.
No, I wouldn't say that, but a lot of people want to feel it's even, it doesn't matter if it's a motorcycle helmet or a bicycle helmet. It still is made with almost the same material and the same aspect. And they've put it out enough to where if you drop it or if it's cracked, don't use it because it's not going to protect your head as much with that crack as if it would without one.
So I understand
but it
that.
Depends
and
on
I,
the
I,
impact of an accident.
When people say that to me, I remind them to turn on the NFL. The Super Bowl Sunday's coming up, right, Philip?
Right.
Do you ever watch
yes.
these football players? They use the same helmets over and over and over and over throughout the course of the game. I don't know anybody replaces their helmets, so I think that's pretty dangerous, and they think that seems to be all right.
Right. I agree, you know, but I think it's just a personal, you know, how somebody feels.
You know, I agree with that. If I had so much money I didn't care, I'd buy a new helmet every week, but I'm kind of, like, cheap. One helmet for me.
Well, I don't even know what a helmet feels like. I've never worn one, ever. But in my state, we don't have the helmet law.
Well?
All I would do is throw my hair back in the ponytail and get on the back and go. You know?
Philip and I have to drive 50 miles to do that. 50 miles south of us is another country.
Right.
Country. Philip and I have to drive either 50 miles or 200 miles. 220 miles from this broadcasting area right now will put us into Arizona. Philip and I do not need a helmet. 50 miles from right here will put us in Mexico. We don't need a helmet. If
right.
traffic is light, we're in Mexico in 45 minutes. Traffic is heavy, maybe 55 minutes, like that. So I do not like the idea of wearing a helmet, but it's not the end of the world for us because I can slip on into Mexico.
Right.
Which Philip and I will be in Arizona in April for the big Yuma prison run.
That's correct.
Any of our Arizona friends are going to, or New Mexico, or Nevada friends are going to be at Yuma. Please look forward to finding us. I have no idea where we're going to be, but...
Bill, make sure you get the good hotel and he gets the not-so-good hotel this time.
I want to do that, but I have to tell you, I hooked up with a couple of friends of mine. One club was called the Grifters Motorcycle Club, and the other club, they're out of California.
Well, you really don't want to talk about those guys.
And the other motorcycle, well, my boys got a little, they're bad boys right now. But the other motorcycle club I hooked up was the Iron Crossman out of Las Vegas, Nevada. And they were so nice to us that they invited me out to dinner, drove 330 miles for a dinner. And they, those two motorcycle clubs were split in a big hotel. I think I'm probably going to be at the Yuma Fairgrounds. We'll both be at the fairgrounds for the party in the nighttime. But we'll probably head back, and I'm not sure where you're going to be, but I'm going to probably be with the boys. It's a dump, but... Oh, I know why, because I'm not taking my wife. There's a reason why. My wife doesn't go to Yuma, Arizona with me. She thinks there's nothing to do. It's boring as hell, and the ride does me wonderful. In Las Vegas, I got to get a nice place because I'm with the wife, but... Since I'm not, I might as well go to the dump. Now,
right.
So are you taking your wife this year? You don't know?
I have no idea.
Well, you want out of respect for the wife to get her a nice hotel. I wouldn't want to, you know, in a dump.
Just like the car's trouble, don't you?
I do. I'm hoping that some more of our Arizona friends will hook us up there. We can meet there. I want to visit some more people there. Philip and I only do Arizona and Nevada once a year, so we don't get out there that much. Whereas the Mexico and L.A. and all that stuff, that's more healthy for us.
Right.
I shouldn't say healthy. It's more fun.
We got a caller from 847.
847.
Hello?
Tell us, who you are, where you're calling from, please.
My name's Amanda. I'm calling from Illinois. I just wanted to let my Uncle Philip know that I was listening to his show.
Good.
When was the last time you saw your Uncle Philip?
I don't know.
It hasn't been that long.
No, it hasn't been that long, but I can't remember.
Well, I'm going to help you because it's probably been a while. Philip is my very good friend. This is Bill Kennedy speaking. And Philip, by the way, is, you know, he's getting kind of old now. But driving the motorcycles at night anymore because we have a little eyesight problem.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of slooping? No, that's not the word I want. Sloping? No, whatever. The shoulders are coming forward. Where the hell I want that word there? And he's kind of bent over and off a lot. On a good day, we can see him with his cane. But on a bad day... He's walking around, he's walking an awful lot. But I hope you always keep a fond memory of your wonderful Uncle Philip in your mind.
And Amanda?
I hope I'll be seeing you soon, though.
Oh, Amanda, don't make it too long, Amanda.
You know
why?
Amanda's going to get married, though, in October.
Oh, congratulations.
Amanda.
Thank you.
How old are you, Amanda, may I ask?
I'm going to be 25 in October.
And where are you going to get married at?
Where or when?
Where? What state and all that? Are you going to travel somewhere to get married?
Oh, no. I'm getting married in Illinois.
I'm traveling there.
He's going to have to travel here.
Okay,
oh,
Amanda,
God.
We can work this out. I'm Phil's friend, so we can. What I will do is I will take him down to the airport and put him on a plane, okay, because we don't want to get on the wrong plane. Now, I need you to be at the airport, please, to be there when he lands, because he'll just walk off with the wrong crowds. So,
of course.
Can you be there when he gets off the plane?
Of course.
Okay. Now, Amanda, he likes to pretend he can drive. Don't let him drive home. Put him in the back seat, Amanda.
And no, tell him to shut up and drive.
We'll let my mom drive.
No. Oh, no. You can tell her I said no.
The family secrets are coming out.
I don't know if my Uncle Timmy drives any better than.
Well, he drives a fire truck. That's probably why.
And Philip, our friends want to know, do you think you can take a picture so you can put it on the wedding, on the site of the wedding?
Yes.
Is that okay with you, Amanda, if he takes a picture so everybody can see what the wedding's like?
Yes.
Good. That's it. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
You're going to marry Amanda?
Huh?
Tell us what this guy's like that you're going to marry.
Oh, his name's Michael. we've been going out for 6 years. He's the love of my life.
I think he's afraid of me, Bill.
Okay.
Sorry?
I said I met that guy. I think he's afraid of me.
They probably thought you were weird.
Oh, yeah, my Uncle Phillip's met him.
Oh, okay. And did you approve? Wait a minute now, don't say anything. Do you approve of him, or is he
absolutely.
At least, are you giving him at least the question to see?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
He knows if he fucks up, Bill, they won't find him.
Give him a note. Whatever hand pieces against you, Uncle Philip will break that goddamn arm. He's going to get these out of the way early.
Uncle Philip, Uncle Tim, and my brother Tim. I'll see the same thing.
God, that's two arms and one leg. She's got one leg left.
He has three guys after him. Oh,
and
my dad.
There's one very important one question we all want to know. Is this guy stinking rich?
Not too rich. I wish.
Oh. You know, it's just so easy to marry a rich man as a poor man.
She's getting married for love, though.
Oh, no. You get married the second time for love. Supposed to get married the first time for money.
Well, I hope this is the first and the last.
Yeah, well, that's good for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does he do for a living? You mind my ask?
He has two jobs right now. He's working at the library by our house, and then he's really into computers. So he works in the tech part of the library. And then he also sells security cameras. And then he's going to school. He's taking classes for computer programming or something like that. So he's very busy.
And he works there and he sells computers. I'm kind of worried about this bachelor party he's going to have. I think it might be a little bit subdued.
No.
Is he allowed to have a bachelor party?
Yeah, my brother will keep him in check.
Hey, that's okay. Just don't tell me when it is, because I'll corrupt him.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Ask your uncle about what happened at his bachelor party.
No, you can't.
Oh, my goodness.
Can't talk about those things.
I wonder if he'll even tell me if I ask him.
No.
Well, I just told, you know, your cousin Brendan just got his permit today.
I know. I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, so I told him he better ask his dad about what happened when I got mine.
Oh, goodness. I know you had your fair share of accidents.
No.
Oh, now the truth comes out.
I didn't have my fair share of accidents.
He had more than his fair share of accidents.
Your mother had her fair share of accidents.
Yeah, my mom had some accidents, too.
Most of all your family is back east, is that correct, in the Midwest?
Yeah.
Amanda,
yeah,
most of your family Midwest?
Everybody.
Yeah, we're all in Illinois.
Yeah, from the same state that I'm in.
I think you could tell us why you guys kicked Philip out? Why is he out here in California? Why won't the family let him back?
I don't know. He should come back here because we miss him.
I don't know. It sounds like the family wanted him out of the state.
I can't wait to see Jamie's little baby.
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, all babies are beautiful.
I can't wait to see her daughter.
Even Philip and I were cute when we were young. It's just later on we changed. Rather quickly, unfortunately.
All that love. Just all that love.
What's the weather like now today, dear?
Oh, my God. It's been freezing.
It's warm out there today?
Oh, God, no. Oh, well, the last 2 days, yesterday and the day before was, I guess you can call it frigid air, like freezing. Oh. And then it cooled, like it got a little warmer today because it snowed. So.
You know, a couple of years ago, I went out to visit some friends of mine in Chicago, and we landed in the airport. Is that O'Hara?
O'Hara,
thank you. And I was looking out I was looking out the window, and the fence was all knocked down. And I said to the passenger, I wonder what happened. They said, oh, I live here. What happened was there was ice on the tarmac,
right.
And the plane went right through the fence and right onto the interstate. And I went, oh, no, this is not the place you want to live, boys and girls. It's not too late. Take your new husband-to-be. Pack up all your stuff. Move out here with Phillips. Phillips got lots of room in his big mansion he lives in. Come on out here. You'll be happy.
I've actually had the chance to visit there once. So it was nice.
Oh,
yeah,
was
but you were a little kid then.
Yeah, I still remember it, though. I have the picture with Grandma in front of your car on my dresser.
Well, Philip keeps two houses. Which house were you at? He has the one house where he has relatives over. That's a single-story house, kind of like in the barrio. And the other house is a three-story mansion he lives in. Which house did you visit?
I don't know. One with lots of hills. There was lots of hills.
Well, that's the single one-story house that you
right.
let the people
yeah,
think
right.
you live in. And
right.
then as soon as they leave, you go down to a three-story mansion. Yeah, we understand that, yeah.
Three-story mansion.
Yeah, he's got a big... Are you going to dance with...
Yeah.
Dance with her at the wedding?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Well, I know you can dance. I worry about Philip. You've got two left feet.
Oh, goodness. No, I'm not a very good dancer either, so it's okay.
It's all right. You'll be all right.
Last time I saw Philip about to dance with a girl... It was at a wedding. He went out and he put his back to the girl, to the bride's back. And I said, no, Philip, you have to turn around and face the bride. So he was a little bit confused then. So maybe if you give him a little bit of guidance, he'll be okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think my fiance, I think he's really nervous because he's never, this is like his wedding, our wedding is going to be the first wedding he's ever been to. He's never been to another wedding before.
Oh, wow.
So he's really nervous. So.
Picked out for Flower Girl yet? A cousin, a relative? Who you picked out for relative yet?
I think so. Maybe.
Philip?
Philip's
available.
I mean... We're still thinking about it.
Well, don't rule that out now. Come on, you know. You have not seen, until you've seen Philip, sashay down the aisle throwing petals of flowers. Oh, I've seen it once. It's amazing.
Oh,
oh goodness.
Now, are you going to have a summer wedding?
No,
it's going to be in October. Both of our birthdays are in October, so.
Oh, that would be great.
You'd be dressed
okay,
up like
Phil.
Now, no poets, right?
No.
Sorry?
Is it cold in October?
No,
yeah,
it's not
kind
cold.
Of. Not
too
bad.
Not too bad. Oh, okay.
No, but she is right. It's been really cold here. This is the first snow we've seen in a long time, but I will say this. With Phil coming out here in October, I'm boarding up my house, and, yeah, I'm not going to answer the door.
You know, We've been really lucky with weather in Illinois this year, though.
Oh, I know. So. We are, because normally at this time we've already been hit, like, really bad with snow accumulation and everything else.
You're wearing a white snowsuit, huh, for the wedding? Just asking
October,
a question.
October, it's like 70s and 80s here.
Sandy.
Yeah, in December, I mean, this is this week is probably the first, like, really cold week that we've really had, probably.
Yeah.
First week that I've had to take out my hat and glove.
So what are you doing for work now? You finished school?
No, I'm not in school right now.
Did you finish school?
Oh, no. I don't know if you know, but I've had some medical problems.
Yeah, I heard that. You doing okay?
Yeah, everything's fine, but so I don't know, school's kind of stressful. So
one rich guy, you won't need school.
I know.
Help you out here.
So he's going to school. So hopefully he'll get richer after he's done with school.
If he's going to school, you should give me a phone number. Say, call me when you get out of school.
Yeah. So.
Is he listening to us? Is he in the same room?
No, I was gonna go out with some friends. He's at home right now.
But we really could have talked to him on the air. I think he would have really appreciated our concerns. Okay.
Yes. I'll have to call you again sometime.
Tell him we were thinking of him and Philip's gonna be looking him up very carefully.
Oh, he knows.
All right.
I'll remind him again though.
Where's your mom?
Oh, she's at home. She's at her house. My mom actually just had surgery today.
Oh. Is she okay?
She's been having trouble with her esophagus.
Listen, you tell me you've been dating this guy for 5 years now. Is that correct?
6 years, actually.
6 years. Now, I got to ask you, where you live now and where he lives, is it a long, long distance? Is it within walking distance of each other?
We're actually living together.
See, I know that. I was slipping that in there. I want to see how comfortable you said that. I'm sorry. You said that very nicely.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Philip and I spend so much time together. I think we live together.
Oh, yeah.
It's not easy being his friend, I'm telling you right now. We should try to get some more of your relatives to tell me what it was like you growing up.
Yeah, I think we'll skip that part.
Didn't you work for a guy that in the automobile shop or something?
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's probably there.
I'd love to have him come in and tell us what it was like when you were growing up. Oh, that was your first real job and all that?
Yeah.
Wow, I'd like to find out
what
we got there on. Go ahead, please.
What was your first job?
An automobile repair shop or an automobile strip shop. I don't know what you guys do.
No.
I don't know what you do. I'm not, I don't know.
Let's see. He answers the phone.
He's calling the first employer he's ever had up on.
Oh. Ah. Wow.
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It shows us how old Phil really is.
They're probably too busy stripping cars, cleaning cars, working cars. What'd you do for a living? Stripping cars?
No, that's closer towards where I live. That's what happened.
He's not going to pick it up tonight.
He might be gone already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, we really could have heard of somebody, you know, harassing him bad.
I'd like to know, you know, did Philip get there on time ever? You know, did he ever do a 40-hour week in
his
life?
Well, you know, Phil, I can tell you, this guy will tell you, he can verify. I had a girl in the back waiting for me. I had a girl out in front waiting for me. And in a two-bedroom apartment I had upstairs, I had a girl waiting for me.
Wow.
The fantasy movie last week or something. Is this something? All right.
Brother, Amanda can ask.
We have some ladies on the line, and you stop talking like that. That's
okay.
Not respectful, you know? Because I'm sure Amanda and her boyfriend have been quite, you know, they're probably still kind of shy. So
yeah.
We don't need to, you know. I'm sure Amanda's, you know, saving everything up for the wedding, and, you know, it's a special time, and you shouldn't be implying that, you know, having women and all that, that's not appropriate now. I'm sure 25 years old,
no.
For the first time
no.
For the wedding.
Oh, God, no. My brother's probably the same way.
Is there something in the water back there, or what?
Oh, no, that's my TV. It's a commercial. I'm sorry. Do I need to turn it down?
I think I told
forget,
you guys my
you guys
last...
can hear like a pin drop.
My last time in Chicago, my friends took me out every night of the week to a different restaurant. My God, you people from Illinois, you eat well anyway.
Yeah, we have great food.
Everywhere we went was a different type of a flavor.
Yeah.
I love the...
You have Greek town, you have Italian. I mean, you got it all.
Yeah, what was that?
But our pizza is better.
Hmm? The Greek restaurant where you're on Opa and then throwing the dishes against the wall? I think that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Let me see if...
No, that's what they do.
Yeah.
We're going to... I'm gonna call this guy and see if he answers the phone bill.
Another guy?
Another guy.
Oh, God.
Shh, be quiet.
Hello?
Hello, T-Rod.
Yeah.
It's Philip.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Bill, too.
I'm eating dinner at a bar. Is that, you want to do the interview right now or the phone, or should I call you when I get home and it's quiet?
We want to know, what are you having for dinner?
Prime rib.
Oh, man, didn't he eat good?
Yeah.
He always eats good. You know?
No, go ahead and eat, and then give us a ring when you're done.
Yeah, dude, I wanted to eat chicken, but didn't have it, so I'm eating meat. Is this the number I got to call you guys back?
Yeah, it's 347-826-7753, but I'll send you a text.
Okay, bro, I'll call you in like 20, 25 minutes.
Okay, right. T-Roy, whatever you don't eat, put in a little takeout bag. Take it home, okay, right? I'll talk to you later about that, right?
You got it, man.
All right.
Bye-bye,
man.
Bye, you guys.
Well, actually, for everybody out there, I thought that was one of Phillip's employees. That was actually a very famous West Coast custom bike builder, T-Rod's Customs. I thought we were going to have some more fun with the relatives, but I guess Phillip has deviated from that form. And So we got the biker at a nice prime rib. He eats well, though. He really makes good money, boys and girls. And I hope we get a picture of him. Ladies, he's not bad looking. He's lifted. He's a meter or two in his time.
You
can look at him, can't they? What are you, why would you, He's got these big bumps in his arms. I call it water retention. He calls it muscles, but I don't know. But you girls don't like guys with muscles, do you? Anybody out there?
Hell yeah, man.
I'm always going to my big partners and grabbing their arms and going, is that water retention? No, Bill, it's muscles, and you should get off your lazy ass and do something about it. But I guess not. Philip, I'm sorry. Is that a picture of your friends? Where are they from here? Oh, no. Oh, you flipped it too fast. None of these are your relatives?
No.
Okay, all right then. So we're back again. We're going to have this guy call in a few minutes. I've got some other people calling in. I was talking about the helmet law. We got Philip's niece getting married. That's kind of nice. Are you still with us, Amanda? Or she pulled the plug?
No, she should still be there.
Okay. And we got Nora's on the phone?
Right. No, we lost Amanda.
We lost Amanda. Amanda said, enough of that. I don't want to know more about my relatives at all. She may be afraid that her fiancé is going to hear about her relatives and think, I got to get out of this marriage now while I can.
He's already.
Well, you know.
See? You guys scare her away. But at least I know one thing. I need to hide in October.
Oh, he's coming down, girl. He's going to be knocking
on
you.
Oh, I know. I know. And he knows right where I'm at. And I know where his family's at. So, yeah.
I did tell you to last time to put some extra bathrobes in your house because sometimes he goes out to visit people naked. And sometimes your neighbors might get a little nervous about that.
You know what? My neighbors have seen me in my underwear. So, they don't.
I'm talking about Philip walking around.
Well, no, they won't say anything. I've gone out my pool at 2 in the morning naked, so it's okay. They're used to how I am.
How you deal with the weather right now? Because I heard the weather this morning was really rough.
Yeah, it was 6 degrees this morning with the wind chill. Ugh. Well, let's see, yesterday was like -1. Or, no, Tuesday. -1, and it got to, I think, like 16 degrees. How do we deal with it? Layers.
That's what I want to know, yeah.
Layers, you know, and we have tough skin, you know, because we deal with the seasons that we do that are different from yours. You're 50 degrees where you think it's so cold, you know, and 50 degrees, I'm in shorts and a T-shirt.
Do you have, like, public transportation used heavily out there, like buses and trains? Or
Like, where my house is at, if you walk to the corner of the block, is a bus stop, okay? And then if you walk a block and a half further, then you're at the train station that takes you right directly downtown or way south.
Okay.
You know, depending upon what you... So I'm very close to all access of the transportation. In fact, the airport that you came in on, that it's 7 miles from my house, the one where the fence
Philip, where did I stay? At Palatine, right?
Palatine,
are you anywhere near Palatine?
No,
that's north of me, about 30, 35 minutes.
Oh, by the way, this ties in. I told you I went to go visit friends of mine in Palatine. Well, I'm not going to visit them anymore because, well, they're out here now. They moved to San Marcos.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you need to go there then. It's warmer.
Well, my home to San Marcos is less than 6 miles, so I see them all the time now.
Okay.
When I first came to their house, they had a big party, and they had all these neighbors over. And people came in the front door. It was Christmas time. They came in the front door. Everybody's carrying cases of beer. They walked through the living room and out the side door to the backyard. And they all came back to the house. I thought there was a giant freezer back there. And I kept saying, but how big is this icebox refrigerator? And they looked at me and they said, Bill, it's outside. That keeps the beer cold. I went, oh, my God, am I such a tourist? I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, no.
I didn't know
because
that thing.
You would know. Like, when we actually have our normal season snow is usually within the first month and a half, is about 13 inches, okay? So if our power ever went out, it's a wonderful thing. You can take your milk, stick it in the snow. You know what I mean? We don't have to worry about it. Well, except for the heat. But, you know, like I said, it's not that you're a tourist. You grew up on the East Coast. And if you've been out on the West Coast for a very long time, which I feel that you have, okay, you just forget. That's all it is. You know.
55, yeah, it came out.
Right, but I will say this, when you went, or when you came in, that's our small airport that you came in, and that story on that plane that went through gates or went through the fence, it didn't hit the interstate, that's a main artery road
okay.
that goes, you know, to the airport north and south, okay? Actually, it was very horrendous. We were in the middle of a snowstorm. And the plane hit a car, and a child died. It was very, very horrible. But they couldn't do anything. It was ice. You know, they hit ice.
So no matter how bad the weather gets, because of public transportation, you always can get from your house to the public transportation. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, Bill, I just got an instant message that Miles.
Yes.
Says this is a nice show tonight. I said, yeah, well, we tried, but Bill's on a roll.
Yeah.
He said, entertained. I enjoy watching my dog chase his tail.
You know, I keep telling everybody, for God's sake, just stop me, folks. It's easy. Just start a new subject. I get lost easy with that. We did start out talking about the helmet laws. That was important.
That was correct.
And we deviated. And the reason
right.
we deviated is because our guests were our friends, who are the main portion of our show. They want to talk about something else.
Right.
That's why we're here for. Motorcycles are important. The laws are important. But I absolutely tell you, nothing as important as our guests and our friends. Or
right.
else I'd have you, Philip. And
right.
what would be the use
well,
of
now,
you?
Well, now, how are you feeling, Bill? Are you feeling better?
Doctor says I'm as well as my Polish nurse says Bill is strong as a bull. My iron is down still, but the doctor said there's nothing to worry about that. I take a lousy over the counter vitamin a day to get my iron back up to speed, and everything
right.
else says is fine. I'm 6 foot, I'm up to 205 pounds, and the doctor's very pleased with that weight too. So I was a little heavier, but I may keep it around 205 if I can.
Well, they do have iron supplements, you know, if they really feel that you need to boost your iron, or you can eat, liver is a good source of iron. There are certain foods that you can eat.
I get rid of that doctor.
As well.
The first doctor told me that I need to cut out steak and eat liver. I get rid of that doctor. I have another doctor now, and he says, eat all the steak you want, Bill. I'm keeping that doctor. I like that guy's attitude.
Okay. Well, be careful, because sometimes too much red meat isn't good for you,
but
for your digestive system.
The first doctor said at my age, the 63, even though, you know, I really am healthy as a horse, the doctor says too much red meat's no good, but he said, we have a compromise on, I'm chicken and turkey, eating a lot of that, and fish, I'm sorry,
right.
doctor said that a lot too, so I'm trying
fish
to...
Is very good.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it happy for everybody, except for the guy that wants to eat more liver, that's out.
Oh, that stuff is gross. I'm sorry. I can't even stomach that.
Look like anything
you
I want.
You can't kill that taste. Oh.
Frankenstein would have, though. You know, I don't know.
Right. Well, like I said, you just can't get rid of that taste. I don't care what you saute and put on it or cover it. Or it just doesn't taste good.
Now, Philip and I are riding the bikes everywhere, so I'm going to tell you, without doubt, you know, we're both healthy. Things are good. The next decent
right.
long ride, like I said, is a run to Arizona. That'll put a few miles on. Then we get to Nevada, Las Vegas, and then we're down in Mexico. So starting to pour, and we're in Palm Springs, but that's not a long ride for us.
No.
We're
right.
trying to put more and more miles on, and the doctor's pleased that I'm not out there putting 500-mile-a-day rides on. I'm putting like 100, 200-mile days and building my energy up, my strength up.
Right.
But it's great for around the shop because, you know, my brother Mike Kennedy and I own Kennedy's Custom Cycles. It's great because, like, a case of oil comes in and I tell the guys, oh, I like to lift, I like to pick that up, but I don't think my doctor thinks I should. So I have all the younger
right.
guys, all the oil, anything that's heavy, oh, I'd like to pick that up, but I don't think I should. So everybody's taking care of Uncle Bill whenever Uncle Bill don't want to do any work.
Which is all the time.
Oh, that was, thank you, thank you. I've been here for 30 years, and this is what I get from people.
Right.
I talk
do
to
you
people.
Have sweatshirts at your place?
We have sweatshirts at our place.
Okay. And you have a website, correct?
Do I? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You know not to ask these questions.
It's KennedysCustomCycles.com.
Okay. I knew it was something. I apologize. I didn't know the full name.
Well, check and see what you want. My sweatshirts, my T-shirt sweatshirts came in on my sleeves. They forgot to put my flames and my name Kennedy in my arms. So it says on my back, it says on the front, but I didn't
okay.
get all my flames. And I didn't want to send a T-shirt. I didn't want to send sweatshirts back because I go through so many people that make these T-shirts. Everybody just messes it up for me 100%. So I just took it.
Yeah, it's very hard to find the right kind of graphic person to do it or silk screening. You know, I can understand.
We absolutely, I got to promise you this, though, that the quality of our shirts and sweatshirts and everything, it is absolutely, it's going to last you for years. I hate going to places where they sell cheap Pakistani crap and it falls apart in the wash machine. It'll never happen at Kennedy's. You can use my shirt for a rag later in life. It's going to be a good shirt there. So.
Oh, no, I won't use it for a rag, but, you know, with the sweatshirt, because the hoodies and stuff, oh, my God. That's what keeps me warm. Or I sleep in them because it's so stinking cold, and I had put like 5 blankets on. It's crazy.
Usually we have, like I said, the flames down the sleeves, too, and then on my own shirts, I have my name, pretty basic.
Right.
Because I go places and people want to walk up and say, oh, how do you do, Bill, this is my cousin from whatever. It makes people, it makes them think that to their friends that they're friends with Bill Kennedy, which is okay. But they forgot to put my name on my own shirts. So I don't
know. Isn't that crazy?
That's, you know, it's part of the deal. I have to deal with the last company, they did some shirts for me, and the colors didn't match. Now, I gave them a shirt when they left, and they said to me, Mr. Kennedy, we think it's the neon lights in your shop.
Right.
I laid the shirt I gave them on the counter, and I laid the shirts they got for me. It wasn't even freaking close. And the guy's saying, well, maybe if we switch them, you can do anything you want. The damn things don't work. Howsoever, I kept those shirts also because it just aggravates me. And then when I do the T-shirt count for the boxes, the it never ends.
Right.
They're never ahead. They're always shorting me a couple of shirts. Or, you know what? I'm going to drop that subject because I'm just going to start crying again. I try
don't
not to use
face.
Any local. If I did, I'd be over the doors punching them in the head. I swear to God. How can you? You come to my shop because you want professional work done the right first time. And yet these vendors I have to deal with at times, they're just like, well, we're sorry. We didn't. I placed an order in December for some parts. I called up last week. Why could you how'd you lose my order? Oh, Mr. Kennedy, we're sorry. We never placed your order. I paid you in December. But you know what? Okay, see that? We're going to let it go now. We're going to just let it go. Everybody in business knows there are good days and bad days, and vendors that would just drive us crazy. See, it's different for Philip. He has a bad day, he just burns a ship and sinks it. He gets it out of his system. But no. I got to deal with crazy people.
Well, you know what? We're all crazy in our own way, but we kind of like it that way, you know?
Well, I find that among my crazy friends, I don't expect too much of them, so whatever they... You know, whatever they produce, I'm just happy, you know. Like, whenever Philip can find out where I'm at in an event, I'm happy that.
Right.
Because sometimes he starts to go south and he ends up going north, but that's our lifestyle. And that simply is, again, I'm making fun of that because Philip and I have so many different events. Well, Southern California, I guess, has so many events. We can't possibly be everywhere. And yet if it's a charity event or a... like the one we did a couple of weeks ago when the biker died on Christmas Day, killed by a drunk driver. Sometimes Philip's in San Diego, sometimes I'm up in Orange County. We're here and there. We can't be everywhere. So it seems to work out where we can say, hey, in behalf of Phil and Bill, you know, we send our condolences and all that. Or flip the script and say, in behalf of Bill and Phil. So, you know, do what we can do. You can't make them all, but I swear to God, Phil, we try hard.
Yeah, we do.
I know. Phil's going to help me with something.
Oh. This is another special conversation on Tuesday. I don't know about it. All right.
Is it okay if I talk about it?
Okay. No, if it's something I shouldn't know about. If it's something I shouldn't know about, I understand.
Oh, no. It's not bad. Well, I mean, it is, but it's not. It's hard for me to. No, I mean, it's hard for me to talk about. And I've pretty much kept it to only certain people instead of playing it out there publicly. But my daughter is going to need help. So at this point, we're not going to have a choice to do this, you know, and Phil's going to help me with this because I've never done it before. My grandson 2 months ago when he was born, was born with what they call cranial syntosis. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Where his skull premature fused. So there is no room in his skull for his brain to grow. Okay. So a top cranial facial surgeon here will have to do surgery to correct it. I'm not sure how they're going to do the procedure yet because they have to wait and let us know in regards to the CAT scan he has to have. The side of his head had caved in. Okay. So it looks like his nose is broke. His eyes are not lined correct. He requires a lot of surgery. It's about 1 in 2,000 kids or babies born that suffer from this. Some they come out just fine, and others will come out with special needs. You know,
yeah.
We just don't know how this is going to go yet. So it's very difficult, you know. So Phil's going to help me on a reach-out type thing, you know.
Okay, well, certainly Phil will give me the skinny on that, and
right.
We'll try to reach out to all
of
our friends.
As soon as we get the paperwork and stuff, Phil will
Yeah, we'll try to
we'll
reach out to our
that.
Friends and all that. That's
Right.
And,
it's very hard, you know.
There's nothing wrong right now praying to God for extra strength, you know. I don't necessarily believe that anybody should pray to God for to take this away from me or pray to God give me money, but I think there's nothing wrong. The strongest man in the world should be able to get down on one knee and say, Lord, this week I need a little extra strength, and I hope you will do that. I hope your daughter will do that too.
Well, you know, so she's a new mom, you know,
mm-hmm.
So she doesn't know a lot, and you know, I'm doing a lot of battle for her. You know, because state insurance doesn't want to cover a lot of places are refusing him. And I said, wait a minute, this is major surgery. It has to be done. This baby can die, you know. And I'm not going to stand here and tolerate somebody to tell me, no, you can't do this. Well, we need to get someplace where things are going to happen, you know. And it's just a constant battle. Daily on the phone. So, you know, thank God for having the experience of being a mom that I am. But unfortunately, you know, I'm trying to show my daughter this as well. Okay, your maternal instincts have kicked in. Now here comes the battle. This is a fight. You know, and you have to do this for your son, period. And she knows this. She just doesn't always know the right direction to go. So it's like, you know, just kind of shoving her in the right way, you know what I mean? And I said, don't take no for an answer. You know, if they say they don't accept something, go higher up, you know, whatever it takes, you know. And she's not so much of a fighter like I am, so I have no problem. I'll get on the phone. I get, you know, with people, okay, I need to know why. Why are you going to refuse this baby?
Uh-huh.
You know, because, it's not his fault. It happens. You know, but unfortunately, you know, we know how insurance can be. We know how the state is. And my state alone has $94 billion in debt. So, you know, people get nervous when it's state insurance because they don't know if they're going to get paid.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. Needless to say, it's a very difficult situation,
well,
you know.
Let's put something together on this, Philip, you know.
Yeah.
And I will definitely...
Yeah, I have to get him more information. You know, he told me what I had to do because I've never done this before. You know, so some days I'm a blonde stuck in a brunette. You know. But, you know, like I said, it's just very hard. And they never even tested him after the fact when he was born. You know, he was so badly bruised. And they just thought, well, she just had a hard delivery. And I said, well, wait a minute. This isn't normal. You can see this. There's something wrong. And, you know, it took a month and a half later for them to, you know, look at him and, oh, well, you have to be taken to a craniofacial surgeon. What? What the hell? You know, it's not what we wanted to hear, but, you know, it was, you wait this long? Why didn't you say this right away? Why didn't you get on it right away? As soon as he came out, you know. But he's a beautiful baby. He's a beautiful, special old boy. No matter what the outcome happens, whether if he's going to be a normal little boy or if he's going to be special needs.
Maybe he's here to influence, inspire other people. We don't know, you know?
Exactly. And we don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't... When it comes to children or even adults that are of special needs of any kind, I will never, ever, I will stand in front of them like nobody's business, you know. I hate when people judge just because, you know, how they are.
We have a program down the three blocks over, adult special need people, and they came and talked to me and said they'd like to get some of these young adults out into the world. So they're going to start selling soft drink machines. Now, I have in my shop a giant Pepsi machine, but the point is they want to go around door to door with their counselors and try to sell soft drinks, just try to get some interaction with the public. They said, we hope these people won't make you or your customers uncomfortable.
Right.
Tell you, it is the best thing ever happened to me, especially my one friend, young David. I don't know what he is, 28, 30 years old. He comes in, and as soon as he steps in the door, he's, hello! It's such a voice you would. I'm only like 10 feet away, like I can't see him. Now, we cannot communicate on everything, so my saying, give me two Pepsis, it kind of blows the program off. So I say, two blue, and he knows what to get me, brings them out. I give him the change, the dollar bills and all that. He puts everything away, and then every single time he goes in sign language and his own voice, I love, and he pauses and he goes, you, and I'm yelling the same thing back to him. We're like 2 feet away from each other yelling.
Right.
And everybody in the shop is going, what is this? But everyone's got to love this guy, David, and his people. He has such a good attitude. He comes in once a week they come in. And I hope he always, always comes in my shop. In fact, they tell me that some days he has bad days, he acts up a little bit, and they say, hey, we won't let you go to the motorcycle shop, and he shapes up right away because he wants to come down
right.
The motorcycle and hang out. In fact, his counselors, I make them wait outside. We don't need counselors. This is between David and myself.
Right.
I tell some of the girl counselors, you know what, this is a shop for men and men only. We need you girls to sit out here, and we men are going to conduct this deal on these two Pepsis. David gets such a big kick out of that I make his counselors wait outside. They can look through the window and see everything, but I'm telling you, the experience of me hanging out with David, it's been priceless. Just a fantastic guy.
You know,
sorry,
I've
gained by having this man and his friends come into my shop once a week. It's been fantastic for me.
Well, you know, I have two cousins that are mentally challenged, okay? It's like they have the mentality of like a 5-6-year-old in an adult body, you know? And so growing up, you know, with them, I became very protective. You know, anybody that has special needs, don't make fun of them. Do not do anything in front of me, you know? I won't tolerate it. So I understand. I mean, a lot of people don't realize they teach you in so many ways, you know. And people are, well, how can they? Look at them. What do you mean look at them? They're smart. You know, just because they're slow or they're not up to your level doesn't mean they're stupid by any means. You know,
like I said, the fact that when he comes in, I tell everybody, my customers and all that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listen, everybody find somebody else to talk to. Me and my amigo David, we got some business to take care of. I make a real sound for that. David comes walking in, and he goes, It's a big shop.
Right.
David goes in the front door, turns to the left. He's dragging his little icebox with him. He parks it magically at the exact same spot every week. Not an inch or two off or anything. The exact same spot. I have no idea how he's figured that out there. He doesn't want to go to the left. He's going to go to the exact same spot every time and wait for me. So I tell everybody, you have to find other people to help you right now. Me and me go over here. We got business. And I tell you what, I've got such a big kick out of that. Look at that. So I'm missing him already. You've met David before, right?
Right.
He's a good guy.
You know, they have such huge hearts. And, you know, what's not to love about them? You know, I'm serious. All you want to do is just hug them and, you know, it's okay. Unfortunately, you know, the world doesn't see people.
Some of my customers are a bit
uncomfortable.
Yeah, some of my customers are a bit uncomfortable. First of all, we're only 5 feet from each other. We're going, hello!
I know.
a little bit. But you know what? The customers that come on a regular basis, they've actually, everybody understand what Bill's doing. This is Bill's friend. This is
right.
David, Bill's friend. And you people are just as much a friend as David is. And David, though he's not buying anything from me, motorcycle parts, he's every bit an important customer as you people are. And everybody
right.
has been patient and all that and enjoyed seeing a little and waving at David and all that. So I think it's been good for David. I know it's been good for my motorcycle shop and all my friends that come in.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it at all, you know, and the ones that don't understand, they never will, but it's okay,
yeah.
You know, that's their opinion, you know, and how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's, you know, everybody has the right to have theirs, but, you know, for the ones that have been around special needs, you
yeah.
know, it's a whole different ballgame. It's like with the Upside of Down. What a wonderful event that was. It was, you know, to have something like that take place. And looking at that beautiful little boy, he's just beautiful.
Hmm.
Doesn't matter that he has Down syndrome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just beautiful little boy.
Now, like I said, I believe that everybody brings something special into this world, and maybe you're not going to accomplish anything, but maybe you're going to be the inspiration to other people. I do not lack self-doubt or self-confidence.
Right.
I have no self-doubt in me at all. But I, every now and then, I keep thinking, have I done something special? I've done a lot of good. Have I done the one big deal? I'm 64 years old, and I can't tell everybody why, but at 62, I was involved in something that really had a big impact on making a change. And I finally say, all these people are going to be alive, and all this is going to come to an end. I made a change, but for so long I kept saying, "What am I here? What am I going to do? I know I want to do something big, but I just didn't know what to do." But finally, when I was 62, I did something that really made such a big change. So that's a long way to wait, though. I was 62 years old. Some people are still waiting, though. So I can't complain about that.
But it's okay, you know.
Yeah.
Did anybody say we had to grow up?
Exactly. Oh, I'm never going to. Let me explain to you again. As long as I can ride, I will never grow old. I will only grow old when, for whatever reason is, they have to take my motorcycle away from me. I will not last long. I will start to deteriorate. I will start to lose the energy and all that. But as long as I have the motorcycle, I can never age. I can never get old. That's a fact. That's a guarantee.
Right.
Philip, on the other hand, no, he's getting older every day, but, you know.
Well, what do you do to make him so old?
Well, like right now, and I don't mean to be rude. See, a lot of people don't know, between the 6 and 7 o'clock hour and the 7 to 8 o'clock hour, Philip takes short naps. Right now, he's on the floor, and he's taking a little. Oh, here he's waking up now. Come back here. Get Phil. Come on. You want to say something, Phil? Oh, no, no, no. Now he's mad because we woke him up. I shouldn't have done that, boys and girls. I'm sorry.
It's okay. He'll get over it.
it batteries up and all that. You're being awful quiet this past 10 minutes.
No, I'm all right.
All right.
He's just listening. He's in his world.
What you people don't say, sometimes he's looking at me, shaking his head like, what is your problem? Why do you do this? I don't know why. Just the way it is. Just the way it is.
No, see, here's a night where he doesn't need to work so hard on the show because you're here and you get to speak more and he can just sit back and relax and do what he does.
Well, I have to say,
while you're talking.
He's not actually, he's not taking a nap. We all know that. But what he's doing is he's on the computer. He's making all kinds of arrangements. I have a run coming up. We have a run coming up in Mexico. And Phil's punching information up on me, telling me where they're going to meet down at the California-Mexican border. He's showing me some hotels. He's showing me one more. He's actually doing a lot of stuff that requires him to punch keys, you know, the
right.
alphabet digits and all that stuff, which, you know, I don't really care about at all. So he does allow me on Thursday to meander, and I certainly meander all over the place, because he's working so hard to...
fill us in on events that are coming up.
We are going to be quiet for a very short time for the next couple of weeks. There is a bike show up in Pomona, which we may or may not go to this weekend, based upon weather-wise and all that. But the next, well, we've got to, hang on one quick second. I got three or four motorcycle clubs all putting little fundraisers on. That's only about 100 mile each ride, so that's not even on distance for us. Philip and I don't roll out of our normal function, I guess, really, until we go to Arizona.
Right.
And that's, for us to consider anything under 200 miles, that's a good to go up with no problem, up and we're back same day. Over 200 miles, we're pretty much going to spend night somewhere.
Right.
So we are going to be spending the weekend in Arizona in April. We have several programs in Los Angeles, but that's 100 miles up and back. We can hang until we're bored, jump on our bikes, and we're home again. If it's light traffic, no muss, no fuss. If it's heavy traffic, we have to split traffic all the way.
Right. All I'm trying to locate right now, Bill, is that thing for this weekend.
Okay. We have an organization. We have a Marine Corps riders. Did I show you that flyer?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some. Phil and I are very heavy into military.
Oh,
of course. You should be.
Well
served.
So, talk to us. Who you are? Where are you calling from, please? 760-445. You're live. Tell us who you are. Where you from, please?
Hey, Bill.
We can hear you. Hello, who is this? Who are you calling from?
That's a roving reporter there, Bill.
You know what? We just had a lady asking a specialty, what's going on in our local area? And ladies and gentlemen, we have our roving reporter, a brand new segment. Our man's called Staples. And Staples, do you want to tell us anything about yourself, about your motorcycle club, or whatever information you want to share or not share, and tell us what's going on in the California area? You're live.
Well,
go ahead, buddy. You got it.
Well, thank you very much, Phil. We were, my wife and I, we were at our clubhouse this last Saturday along with you. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for the invitation.
We had our Mater Memorial Run, which we're going to be doing that every year. Whether or not it's going to be open to the COC and everybody or just a closed event to Rough Riders only, they're still debating on that. But it was a good turnout. There was, Devil's Disciples were there. We had some Red and White there. We had some Grandfathers came down from Lake Elsinore.
Yeah.
Let's see who else. We had the Skeleton Kings out of Fallbrook came down. Who else was there? There was a bunch of different clubs that showed up.
Vietnam vets were there?
Say what?
Is it the Vietnam vets were there?
Yeah, Vietnam vets were there. We saw some of those guys.
Yeah.
It was just a really good turn. If I left anybody out, I do apologize. We would like to say thank you for everybody that showed up and hung out with us for the afternoon and had some burgers and dogs and enjoyed our clubhouse and whatnot. From what I understand, I think we're going to be doing like an open house, trying to do like once a month or something along that line. I'll get more details. I'll phone them in to you.
You also missed the Graveyard Gamblers were there. I don't want to forget those people. Listen,
oh,
I asked you a question, though, first. Do you want to identify who you are and what organization you're with, or just want to go by your name and not use your, get your club involvement? Have you talked to your P about that?
Yeah, I got to talk to my P about that. So I'm just going to go with my name, Ivan, and as things go on down the road later, we'll bring other things in for topics of discussion.
Okay, because you have mentioned several times your clubhouse and all that, so I want to make sure that you and your P and your people have got all on the same page to make sure there's no, no politics, no pressure, you know.
Absolutely.
So for today, it's just going to be Ivan, the roving reporter.
The roving reporter.
What's going on besides your last organization you had last week?
Well, I know the grandfathers are doing a Valentine's dance up in Lake Elsinore. I forget.
Would you tell us everybody where Lake Elsinore is? Because remember, people listen to you from all over.
Well, Lake Elsinore is north of Temecula. It's in Riverside County. It's actually just south of Riverside, just north of Temecula, up the I-15. I gave you a flyer, Bill. I don't have one in front of me. If you have that in front of you, if you want to post the date.
Excuse me, sir. I'm not the roving reporter. That stuff's at my shop. You're the roving reporter.
That's on
you, brother.
I will be better prepared next week. If you're, are you going to be on next week, or you were saying you were going to be up in Pomona?
Every Thursday I'm here.
Okay. All right. Well, I will be better prepared next Thursday with the flyers and whatnot. Then, so.
A lot of times I'll sneak out on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'll come back. But there's no reason I'll leave on a Thursday. That's, unless I'm going to Sturgis, which I'm not for a while. Pretty much Friday, Saturday, I'm back on Sunday for all my runs. So what is next beside the grandfather's little Valentine's Day dance?
The next thing that I know of off the top of my head, Pioneers and Final Option. I believe it's mainly Final Option. Yeah, mainly Final Option puts on a breakfast down at Sweetwater Harley. I believe it's the first Sunday or second Sunday of the month. I'll have to get more details on that also. I'll post that next Thursday also.
First Sunday of the month.
And will you tell us again, now this case here is going to be in the city of like San Diego. Remember, people listening, you say the name of a city, that's not registered with them. So tell them a little about where the event is and what part of California it's in, okay?
Sure. Yeah, so Sweetwater Harley-Davidson in San Diego. I'm not exactly sure what the address there is, but
okay.
they put on a real good breakfast there. And from where I stand, it's on the rooftop of the Harley-Davidson shop. So a lot of good brothers, a lot of good community showing up and just hanging out and BSing. So other than that, that's kind of all I can think of that comes to my mind, Bill.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have any reason why I'm never at that little get-together? You know why? No.
No.
You know why I'm never at that meeting?
Because you're working.
Morning.
In the morning.
Because I don't do morning things. If these people invite me to a dinner, I show up, but I get two choices. I can lay in my bed where it's nice and warm, or I can ride 50 miles wherever for breakfast. It's not real. Like, your event was at nighttime. I'm into that stuff. But, Uncle Bill, that morning stuff, it's not real. Philip has to literally bang on my door, bang on my window. I don't do morning stuff with that,
Well, I guess I just figured I'd put it out there. I know that they do that event every month.
We appreciate that.
It's a real good thing. So, like I said, I'll get some more information on it, the actual dates and times, what day of the week. I know it's on a Sunday. I think it's the first Sunday of the month.
If you would also include briefly in the next meetings, let people know any information about a bait. Are you connected with a bait at all?
I personally am not.
Uh-huh.
I can try to get some information on it.
Yeah, whatever you feel comfortable. I'm for a bait. I'm just not in a bait, and I don't want to go into long reasons why and all that. But I think it's a good organization, as is Bolt and Bam and Disco Duck and anybody else I forgot. It's just not my political, genre. But if you can give us a little thing of what's going on, some of the laws with that too, we'd appreciate that. Remember always to tell us the name of tell us what's going on, tell us the name of the city, and then tell us like it's in San Diego, L.A., Riverside, whatever else you want to talk about. All right? Mr. Roving Reporter Ivan?
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you very much. I think that's about it for me tonight.
Okay, sir. Is your wife there with you?
No, she's at bingo. She does bingo on Thursday nights.
Tell her I said your segment today was almost flawless. Almost completely flawless. What a good show. Good segment you did. I mean that.
No problem. I appreciate it.
And tell your wife I miss her, okay?
I sure will. Again, thank you for coming out to our run on Saturday, Bill. It meant a lot.
Magnus, thank you. It was good seeing a lot of old faces and all that. Thank you, sir.
No problem. We'll talk to you next Thursday, if not before.
Nice guy he is. Ivan's been a friend of mine for some time. Nice soft voice, but he's a bouncer at a bar. He's got a position in his club, which is he's a pretty healthy boy. That's a good way to put it right there. Nice disposition, though. Truly the type of guy you want to call a biker. Somebody that can handle his shit, but doesn't have to intimidate other people. Just seeing him, you realize, I don't think I want to hit him because I don't know what he could hit him with to slow him down. He'd be a healthy boy. Anyway, we're back with that. So that's a new segment we just started called our roving reporter, Ivan, who once he gets the okay from his national P and all that, maybe he might identify what club he's with or not. I know, it's those choices. All that politics gets me confused anyway.
It's understandable.
Yeah. Philip's got a sore leg, everybody. Did I tell you that?
What? He's got a boo-boo?
Well, it's probably a skosh more than a boo-boo. Would you like to share with us what happened?
No.
Okay.
He's a bit shy. You know, he wants to hear about everybody else, but he won't talk about himself. See how he is?
Well, his leg went to sleep when he's sitting here trying to wake his leg up, and, you know, he's got no energy on that leg. He's hopping around on one foot.
I hate when that happens.
But it's sad. Sad and lonely, boys. Sad and lonely.
Yep. That's what happens when you get old. Oops.
You know, you people may have heard a couple of times I've got a cramp in my leg. There's nothing more painful than my trying to talk to you, and I got a cramp. And what are you going to do? You know, I asked Philip Massage, and he won't help me at all. He won't help me. He don't care.
You're on.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, you know what? And friends are supposed to be there for each other. What is up with that?
I could be laying on the ground, choking on a piece of chicken, and he'd be saying, "Oh man, you're on your own." Ain't that sad, boys and girls?
See, I don't do that to my friends.
You're a lady. You got style and grace, and me, I just got Philip.
No, I don't have style and grace. I just have a mouth, and I won't tolerate the difference. Some days I'm just a little bit more polite than others.
Yeah. We have got...
It's been a quiet show. Do we have anybody in the chat? Well, I'm not on the chat, but...
On and off.
Oh, okay.
I'm afraid my ranting, my running all over the place has made some people say, "Holy shit, I'm going to tune out and come back next week. Maybe he'll get better next week." Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm going to tell you something. It probably won't get better next week, so... The only way it can get better if you people will call in the show and take over the show. That's what you have to do, right?
Right.
We want to hear what you have to say. Now, we do get these emails from people saying, you know, that they can't stay up for the show. They send us messages a day later. Well, that's kind of nice. For listening a day later, the initial show, I need some more feedback. We need to know people are out there. Philip's talking about, we haven't got this down pat yet, so I hope I'm not letting the, Philip loves when I talk like this. He goes, "Where's he going? What's he going to say?"
Well,
I'm talking about a live show. So.
Yeah, and what we were talking about, Bill,
is,
you know, our friend Paul.
No, Paul who?
Paul Renteria.
I know him.
Okay.
But they don't know that.
Well.
Share the information.
He said his 50-year dream of restoring my Uncle Joey Elizondo's 1941 Harley-Davidson knucklehead from a bobber back to a pre-World War II stock, which he did. I want to thank his homie Emilio for introducing me to badass biker builder Lozano Perez. Come see it in person at the Grand Nationals Bike Show this Saturday through Sunday. Well, actually, it's Friday through Sunday at the Pomona Fairgrounds.
So this is a good friend of ours, and he got his uncle's 1941 knucklehead.
If you remember when he was at the shop, he was looking for some.
He's restored this beautiful 1941 knuckle that was been his family since Jump Street. Kind of nice. And what you can't see right now is the picture, and it is absolutely as beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
A lot of people love
knuckleheads.
What it looked like before.
Yeah, a lot of people love knuckleheads. I'm a little more of a panhead man, but I certainly can appreciate the beauty of a knucklehead. Major restoration there.
Right. Well, panhead, shovelhead, you know, that kind of thing. They're old school bikes.
Yeah.
You know, but if they're done right, oh, they're beautiful. And, you know, bobbers and stuff,
yeah.
You know.
Something like that cannot get lost in the parking lot. All these brand new bikes, no matter how much you put money into them, they get lost in the parking lot because they all look somewhat the same. But somebody that takes
can.
The time to restore something.
This one won't.
And to think it was your family's member's legacy to yourself.
Right.
We have a good friend of ours that his father gave him a knucklehead, and he still got the most. Michael D.
Right.
Michael D's father gave him a knucklehead, and Michael D has also restored it. And Michael D said he will give it to his son as his son gets older, so they will always be able to trace back an item that their family had for generations. I think that's kind of cool. If there are any of my relatives out there listening and they've got some knuckleheads or shovelheads they want to give me, please call me up right away. We'll pick it up. But unfortunately, I'm the only biker in all of my family, uncles, cousins, and as far as generations you want to go, I'm it. There's no other person I can bond with. There's nobody that even understands what I'm doing. I'm it. How about you? You
right.
Got any cousins that are motorcycle people?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's a few.
Well, I got nobody. I'm just all alone except for my friends on the radio here. All by myself.
Right.
Lonely.
As always. And you don't have somebody to say they need Dr. Love's voice tonight.
I know. We might get that custom bike builder once he finishes prime rib. T-Rod.
Oh, prime rib is wonderful if it's done right.
I want you to know that T-Rod certainly is, if you ladies do like those big muscles.
Well, you know, Bill, because this Grand National Roadster Show, which will be the 25th through the 27th, it's the 64th year.
Sick.
At Pomona.
Yeah. And I like the fact that it's, like it's cars, motorcycles, trucks, woodies, wagons, you know, blah, 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 blah. I go to bike shows and I get a little bit tired, like you and I were at the Easy Rider bike show. Maybe I'm getting a little bit crass or a little bit callous, I guess the word I want. I want to stop looking at motorcycles and see some more cars. Break up my eyesight, I guess, you know?
Right.
I like to appreciate cars, trucks, and motorcycles together. Whereas if I just look at bikes all day long, well, I work at a motorcycle shop all day.
Yeah.
So then I see motorcycles on the weekend all the time. So I kind of like it when we can do a mixed show. Not too many shows are like mixed shows.
So basically it's going to be Friday it'll be from 12 to 8.
Uh-huh.
Saturday will be from 10 to 8. Sunday will be from 10 until 6.
Right.
And it'll be at the Flex Buildings 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
You know, the last time I did an Easy Rider show at Pomona, the building right next to it was the International Tattoo Convention. What a great way it's combined up. I got tired looking at motorcycles, and I went to the tattoo parlor, or the complex and convention, excuse me. Simply amazing how much dedication these people that have tattoos took it to a whole new area. I felt that these are all my people. It's okay. I'm all right here.
Right.
Basically, what I want to do is I'm going to send Paul a message and see what to be there because they were invited to come up Saturday.
Yeah. God willing, the creek don't rise and everything else, you know.
Correct. Nora.
Yes.
Turn on the sound or stay away from the TV, will you?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's not us. It's my TV. Sorry, I had it up earlier because the little man, he's just been fussy all day. So for right now, he's in the other room with my daughter, so that way you don't just hear her constant crying.
Hey, listen, I don't, I think baby crying is beautiful.
It is.
Because my children have all gone and all that, maybe I don't remember the day, hour after hour, day after day, but I think that the sound of a child crying is, it really is.
Well, you know, yesterday he was just very, very fussy. You know, they get those days. And so I had grabbed my laptop, and I went on this website where you can see, like, the old cartoons from, like, the 70s and stuff. And so I thought, oh, what about the banana splits? Do you guys remember that?
No.
Anyways, but it was a show. It wasn't animated, you know. But anyways, for the music to it is what I played for him. And he just stopped and he smiled and he was like moving his body like if he was dancing, you know, and it just calmed him, you know. So it was just special to see that, you know. Just
I
finding different things that would calm him.
I grew up with, of course, the Mickey Mouse Club. I grew up with Crusader Rabbit. I don't know if you know that. And for us Boston people, I was on Bozo the Clown Show when I was a little kid. So that was
In Chicago?
Actually, I was in Boston when Bozo was there.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, of course, there was, let's see, Crusader Rabbit had me drinking chocolate milk all the time. I don't know why. And
Mr. Bill.
Mickey Mouse Club was really great because that Annette Funicello, man, that girl was fine looking, you know.
You know, I loved all the movies she was in, even with Frankie Avalon. Those were just the movies, you know. Yep. Sorry.
No problem. We moved out here, my family, to Carlsbad in 1965. The house right across the street from my parents' home belonged to Shirley Temple. And she gave it away to the sisters of the Catholic Church so they could have a retirement home. They had only for a couple of years. Shirley Temple did live there when I was there or nothing with that. But as soon as we moved into our house right across from this beautiful house that Shirley Temple gave the Catholic nuns, Catholic Church bulldozed the whole house. They built a new Catholic church there. Now, the purpose of my family moving into that neighborhood, we figured Shirley Temple's house would hold the value up.
Right.
Now, my mama lives right across the street from the biggest Catholic church. So if you ever go to visit my mama in Carlsbad, California, do not go on a Sunday. Because wonderful Catholics who have all this parking in their church property wants to park up and down the main street. And they want to pull in my mama's driveway and block my driveway. I go to visit my mother. I can't get in my driveway to visit my mama. My mama can't get out of the driveway. Now you would think, well, why don't you call the police? Because the church is only for a couple hours and the police will not come out. They said, Mr. Kennedy, patient. So I'm a nice Catholic boy, and I went across the street and I spoke to the head guy, and I said, can you make some statements from the pulpit? Asking people not to park in my mama's garage, you know. It wasn't working. So I came over and I said to them, I'd like to get up in church and speak. And they said, no. No, Bill, we don't want you up in the church speaking in the pulpit. Important message. I want to come visit my mama in Carlsbad, California, and I can't get in the driveway. Now, like a block away from my mother is a little grocery store with a big park. I got to park there, walk. There's nothing more sadder than seeing a biker walking. It just doesn't look normal. So I got to walk all the way to my mama's house, then leave my mama's house. And, of course, the whole street's empty now. Now this poor biker, this like a fish out of water. I got to walk all the way back on my motorcycle. It just, I don't know. God, I really have gone off base, haven't I?
Mm-hmm.
Who's in charge of keeping me in line today?
Phil.
No. All he does is shake his head at me at times. I need more help than that.
Yeah,
I need more help. What'd you have for dinner tonight, dear?
Me? I had, well, I made a 5 or 6 quart pot of homemade chili.
Ooh.
And then I made buttered Wacky Mac. It's vegetable noodles. And then I made smoked sausage. Not everybody eats chili. I love my chili. I'll eat the whole entire thing myself.
I had a nice thing.
Well, not in one sitting.
Huh?
You had Philip, ice cream?
The Brother Beano's, which is our homeless people in the area. Philip and I do an awful lot to help the homeless. It's there, but for the grace of God, or less than one paycheck away, we could be homeless. They invited me to come down for lunch. So maybe next week, if I can work it out and all that, I'll be at the shelter having lunch. They tell me sometimes the mayor comes down and they feed the mayor, and we're going to feed Bill Kennedy lunch. So now you know, you can say, what have you heard from Bill? You can say, well, he's at the homeless shelter eating food, so that's where I'll be at.
But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that,
no.
And I'll tell you why. Because there's two churches, and you know, very close to my home, and they feed the homeless every weekend. Okay, and the unfortunate thing is they don't have the storage space, you know. And there's people that make food. There's butcher shops that, you know, will provide food, that kind of thing, you know. And they can't throw away the food, so, you know, I'll get a phone call at like 11 o'clock at night on a Friday night or Saturday, you know, and, oh, you know, we have so much food left over. Can you use this? Oh, sure, you know. And amazing food. I'm not kidding, you know.
Last year, the homeless people, the homeless shelter people, they brought a big crock of chili. They came down to our shop, and they fed us lunch, everybody in our shop. For the work we do, raising money and all that stuff with that. But this year they really wanted me to come on down to them and have lunch with them. I thought that would be kind of nice.
Right. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I'll know some of the people there because you know, I've been in this area for so long. And we had a guy come in. I share this with you. One of the guys at the homeless shelter came in. He says, you know, Bill, I'm down on my luck and all that because look at my belt buckle, Bill. I've lost my wife. I lost my kid. I lost my Harley Davidson, but I still got my Harley Davidson belt buckle. Someday I'll be back on the bike. And I thought, wow. You know, that kind of struck me as kind of, I don't know, maybe I just take too much for granted. Here's a guy who's lost everything. I don't know, drugs, alcohol. I don't know what happened. But the point is he lost everything, but he's hanging on to his belt buckle, because he figures someday he'll be back on the motorcycle again. That's kind of a class act. I hope so.
I'll tell you what, you know, you get more blessings from people than what people want to admit. Does that make sense?
I understand that. I've had a very interesting life. The fact that I'm still here, blah, blah, blah. The amount of things that have, you know, been given to me, the amount of respect that's showed to me by the motorcycle worlds, the amount of respect in Mexico, which I consider like a, well, I don't consider Mexico a second home, but I consider the Mexican bikers brothers. I love being down in Mexico. I wouldn't live in the country, but I've been very fortunate that wherever I am, people come up and, like the one guy was talking about, the run he had at his shop, I was sitting down eating my food. People kept walking up to me, no, 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 please, Mr. Kennedy, don't get up. And they're shaking and hugging me. They're treating me like I'm 100 years old. But I know it's a sign of respect and all that, and I appreciate that. I just, at times I'm a bit uncomfortable when I think that they're, you know, making a big deal out of it.
Right.
They call me an icon or some other, you know, things that, they do it out of, you know, good nature and all that. But I am more comfortable on stage giving you awards and giving you compliments than I am having you say something nice to me. I've always been a little bit uncomfortable. And Philip's the same way on that. Philip Philip takes very little credit. He just, it's not in his genes, and yet he works like a dog behind the scenes, I guarantee you that.
Right.
So I don't say too much nice about Philip, and I probably won't say anything nice for a long time, but I want to get that out, you know?
Right. Well, you know what? I mean, I've helped people, whether if I had anything or not. I've done whatever I could. You know, that's what I've done my whole entire life. Sometimes it's stuck me in the back. You know, it's a lesson learned, and you go to the next one. But I've never asked for anything in return. Does that make sense?
No, exactly. People will tell you that there is never... No, I won't take things. I just don't do it that well at all. You talked about having friends that stab you in the back. I refuse to allow their actions change my way of life.
Right.
If that makes any sense. Now, I am a man, and there have been times when people that have injured us that we had to...
It angers you. It angers you
them
for
back.
A time.
Never hurt
yeah,
anybody that didn't deserve it. But when
right.
it's all over and all that, I just felt that their life screwed up, but it's not going to affect my life. But
right.
you have to make a stand against some people who try to take advantage of you.
Well, you know, I mean, I have one that seriously did. And I was so angry, you know. And I wasn't sure at the moment if it was more I was angry at that person.
Yeah.
For what was done, or more at myself for not realizing it until way after the fact. Does that make sense? You know, and I sat there and I just thought, you know what? Karma comes around. It does. You know, and I don't believe in, make a phone call and make something happen. No. Karma itself will come around. What goes around comes around. It does. It may take time. We may never see it, but it does happen.
I believe in, as you're saying, the karma, but also being a man, there are times you absolutely have to take
defend
action
yourself.
So the rest of the community can realize that he's standing up for himself. Saying all this again, I assure you there's not a violent bone in my body. I would not hurt or intimidate anybody weaker than me. But
right.
the type of the world, being a man, if you cannot stand up for yourself, this is the wrong world to live in. I wish
right.
I could say, yes, I've been done wrong, and I'll turn the other cheek. I'm not that strong. Again, being a man, there are times if something goes wrong, you've got to deal with it. You've got to find those people. It's got to be dealt with. In however matter you decide it's being dealt with. You and I were talking about that one friend of mine that he said was done him wrong, and I said,
right.
do one or two things. Talk to the person or go beat the shit out of the person. Either way, don't come back to see me again until you resolve it. He
right.
came back and he said, Bill, it's been resolved. I didn't ask him what he did. I didn't ask him
right.
to talk the situation out. I didn't ask him what he did. I just wanted to know that he didn't leave that plate out there. He wrapped it all up with that. And that's what I think you need to do. You need closure. If you
right.
don't have closure, the
it
incident...
eats you.
Like cancer, yeah, it does.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's only one incident that there wasn't any, and it just angered me so much. It was like there's times if somebody brings up, it's like,
yeah.
bring it up.
The only thing that I'm going to tell you right now, which I've been really hurt with, and I was totally unable to do anything, when some of my really good biker friends of mine have fallen for little strippers, I call them the dancers now. I'm sorry. For they've fallen for dancers, and these dancers have gotten hooked on drugs. These are friends of mine that have been through the drug phase. They've been through the alcohol phase. That's behind them, and yet they find a little dancer, and
right.
this little girl has so much power. She talks to Philip. She convinces Philip and my friends to go back on the drugs or the alcohol. That hurts me so bad. But there's nothing I can do. Friend or
right.
no friend, they're going to take the stripper dancer over me, you know, just the way it is. One of the sad
right.
things I can't change. And I never doubt the power of women when I see big, giant men being manipulated by little tiny girls. So,
right.
it is. It is what it is.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't know what it is. Men just seem to, when it comes to women, you know,
yeah.
I could never get it. Sometimes people say out there, no, you're just too nice, or you have too big of a heart. You know, and it's like, okay, well, maybe I do, but that doesn't make it right for somebody to just be a jerk, you know, or to be abusive or whatever the case may be, you know.
You know, you have to stop that early in the relationship, but once alcohol or drugs come in, it just changes everything. Now, I am not against alcohol or drugs. I want to make this very clear. I choose not to take alcohol or drugs. I'm not AANA or anything else. I choose not to do this. I am not against it. You do it in your privacy, your own home. But we have friends who, the girl wants to go out for a drink or da-da-da. They get on their motorcycle. Let's just talk quickly without sending the name. A good friend of ours, 60 years old, we just get a DUI.
Yeah.
60 years old. Second time.
Well, you know, I tell people that come to my home because I don't drink or do drugs. But I tell people that come to my home, if they drink, if they're going to drink, they're staying.
That's all I ask. That's it.
You know.
You know, listen.
Even
while we
though
get
they look at me like I'm a goof. You know, and it's like, no, because why jeopardize your life, let alone your license?
Mm-hmm. Listen, we've got Eunice is on the phone, right?
Yes.
Eunice, are you out there still?
Hi, Eunice.
Yeah, hi, guys. How are you?
You called
fine,
in.
How are you?
I'm better.
Well, we're glad you called because Philip and I just, we're not doing a good show. I don't know what it is. Thank God we have listeners who are calling in. Nora's been running the whole show by herself. I'm telling this right now. So, Eunice and Nora, we expect you kind of run the rest of the show, okay?
Well, I'll try, guys.
Here we go.
I'll try hard. I did talk to Commodore Russell and Mitchell Garabedian, and there'll be whatever night you want them on, you guys, just let me know, and I give them a heads up a couple of days ahead of time. They'd be more than happy to reappear on the show.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I'll leave that up to you.
Okay.
Did you send me an email, Phil? Did you get my email?
Yeah, I have your email address. Hang on.
Send me all the information so I can send it to them, okay?
Yeah, hang on.
Oh, wait a minute. I got their email for you. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't get it yet.
Well, I got their email for you to send stuff to them, and they said it was okay to say it over the phone.
Yeah.
Do you want...
No, I'll call you tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right. Because they really have a lot of stuff.
No, I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay. Well, another interesting thing that I got in the mail yesterday was dealing with the pedophilia. You heard me speak of Kevin, who's a reverend up in Canada, who's suing the Catholic Church up in Canada and then on pedophilia and the government. Has a friend of his was in Rome. He was at the Vatican, and he was at the Vatican too. This was last year, but his friend was able to get a copy of what the Pope has said about this pedophilia. And I'll have to send you a copy because I think you should read it over the at Block Talk Radio. Very, very interesting.
Well, no, you can read it.
Well, I can't read it. I'll start coughing, huh?
You don't have to do it today.
All right. But it's very, very interesting what the Pope is telling the priest to do and say when they get a claim of pedophilia in the Catholic Church. There's no stopping them. You see, the Vatican is, you can't prosecute the Vatican. It's a private industry that cannot be sued. That's why they set cardinal law over there. So you can't prosecute them. You can't bring them back and prosecute them. It's very, very interesting, you know, really. I'll get things together and then...
Okay.
I really don't want to get into it now because we really don't have time. It's going to take a little bit to meet you guys and then we can make comments on it Tuesday if you want.
Okay.
Really very interesting, you know. But I know if I get into it now, we'd have to cut it off. What time? It's quarter off. It's going to take me at least 20 to 30 minutes to read that article.
Okay.
And we got it all highlighted. I'd like to have you guys have Kevin on your show. He's really a very intelligent person. And he's a very hard fighter, you know. And the other, the group up there that he's fighting for is an Indian reservation up there in Canada, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Phil.
Uh-huh.
And they found out that several of the children, they had the monks teach school and everything up there on the reservation, and several of the children had been raped by some of the monks. So they got their own battle up there, you know.
Yeah. That's,
but it's still connected.
That subject does require a lengthy debate, because after you speak about it, I would like to open up to people to have comments, because I know Philip and I have got some very unique comments on people that abuse children.
Oh, yeah.
But I won't get into it right now. You know, right now, Philip and I is right tip of our tongues what we want to say, but we'll wait until we get that out a little bit more. I have our family members. We have children, and we feel certain ways about that stuff.
I mean, who wouldn't want to protect their children, Bill? You know, come on.
Well, that should be parents.
I mean, it's just totally, totally fucking nonsense in plain English. And like I said before, America needs a big douche, you know? I mean, really, I mean, it's just so terrible.
Today is not the country of my grandparents. I said this before.
God,
if my grandparents were to wake from the dead and look around, they'd say, where are we? I don't know where I am at all, because this is not their country. The country they left me years ago, my
Look
generation,
at the
our generation,
yeah.
We're letting it go downhill. We're letting China, a communist country, control America. Where does America borrow the money from, Philip? China. How do we tell our children democracy is the greatest thing in the world, America is the greatest thing, when we Americans have to borrow money from China? And you know damn good well, if they loan us money, they're going to be giving us suggestions.
Oh, telling us what to do. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I've said this before, and I don't want to get too crazy.
Got an instant message for Eunice. He said, this is Miles, he said to tell Eunice that America, or the USA, has a big douche. He's called up.
Oh, Miles, thank you very much. Actually, America needs an enema, you know.
Yeah, that's what I like when you say enema. Well, not
the shit out of the way, you know.
We need to get American businesses out of China. That's what we got to do, ladies and gentlemen. And I swear to God,
if Harley Davidson is here,
in there, I'll just be spitting nails or something in here. American companies that are doing business in China, shame on you. Every American company, get the hell out of China. You're over there because you got cheap labor. Why don't you open businesses back up here?
About money, Bill. You know,
I know, dear. I'm talking ideology, and they're talking about practical. They get the work done cheaper.
All about money.
But meanwhile, we go to Americans. Look at Detroit. Look at Detroit in its heyday. When Detroit closed down, we had all those people, nothing. My daughter is in New Hampshire, the very, very tip. And the town she was in, she lives in today, I went back to visit them a couple years ago. I drove all around, and I said to my daughter, honey, where are all these factories? She said, Dad, we were the goulash capital. Now, not the food, but those rubber boots you put over your shoes
right.
You go out in the snow with. We were the goulash mm-hmm. capital of the world. Now, it's all been outsourced. So we have all these empty buildings, warehouses. They're all being made in Pakistan, in China. No American jobs, nothing. They closed the factories, and Americans are out there scrounging for work. There's no work. We keep outsourcing. What are we going to do for ourselves?
And over.
We're closing the militaries down. We're making them smaller and smaller. We're throwing the militaries out in the streets.
Let me tell you, Bill, Worcester at one time was the capital of making the shoes for Army, Navy, you know, for the Air Force, plus guns. We had, you know, big guns. And when the war broke out, all the wives took their husbands' jobs to keep the family going.
Rosie Riveter.
Yep. And you know something? It's just... I remember when my father came back from the service, and he was going over on a Navy ship, naturally. And I guess gunfire broke out, and he was going down one of the ladders at that time, Bill. I mean, Phil, you can probably testify to this. The going down the stairs backwards... It was. They didn't have a roundness to the top of it where you grab on to go down.
All right.
And my father jumped because so many of them, you know, were going down to do something, and his testicles actually got caught on the top of the railing and ripped it right off, you know. I remember him bringing pictures home. And they were so disgusting. But then he would never talk about the service after that. Ever, ever, ever. You couldn't, you know.
No. Well, Philip and I are veterans, and, you know, we are very, very for the military. Men and women over there, we give them all the praise. Constantly tell everybody how proud we are of the women who are over there. And if you listen to our president today, he said that we are going to increase women in combat. That was on today's CNN. The president says we're going to start sending women. They've been doing secondary jobs in combat, but as of today, they're going in there. They're going into combat. All right, I got two thoughts on that. I'd like to ask you, ladies, women in combat. Give me your opinion, please.
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, that's one. Second one?
I don't have a problem with it. As long as they're single women, I feel that children, even though they need their fathers, they need their mothers more so.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to say something that's going to aggravate everybody. When Germany attacked Russia, Operation Barbarossa, World War II, Russia went out there with men and women and fought and beat the Nazis back. Israel, which is surrounded by, you know, ragged countries everywhere, they have men and women fighting. I absolutely am not so sexist that I would say I'm uncomfortable with women in combat. I like very much, you hit it right on the head, except for those women that have children.
That's right.
Their primary concern should be the raising of the children until they're of age and all that. I have nothing against single women, divorced women, or whatever, but women with children, America needs to have the family get stronger. And I think that putting women with children into combat, I'm against it. Thank you, ladies, for saying that, because a lot of times people say, oh, Bill's sexist. I'm not. It's not sexist. Women need to have children. But if you're single, I'm okay. I think that...
Well, I am with it, too, you know, but I just feel that they're taking too many of the mothers of this country.
You know, I do have to agree with you both because I didn't think about the children. I just, you know, I would have to say the same thing. A single person, fine, but, you know, because it's so hard for a child to grow up without their mom.
Yeah.
It is.
It really is, you know. I mean, it really, truly is. And maybe I'm more compassionate to it, guys, because I've you know, fought all my life for children, you know. But I really believe that if the women have children, you know,
huh?
What
that's
do you think about
the,
them in
America
the draft?
You guys hear that? We only have 10 seconds left. So I do want to thank both you two for taking over the latter part of the show, because obviously I was floundering. I was out there
that's
floundering.
That's okay. Phil was just being quiet.
Well, he's going to get beaten up Tuesday, so, you know, he's going to save all his strength for us.
He always gets beat up on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Time is up tonight. Now it's time to say goodbye to each and all my friends. Am
go
I
get guys. Yourself something to eat.
Why? Because we love you. And my stomach freezes. So I'm going to say goodnight
good
to everyone.
Good night, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night,
good night,
my lady.
Thank you.
Good night,
Eunice.
Lady.
Yeah. I know. Thank you. Good night, Eunice.
Yeah, good night, guys. Bye-bye.